under this hood, I will rule the universe!
All right, squaddies, time to hero up!
Time to hero up, guys.
Very rockin'.
It is rockin'. It's not dinosaurs rocking.
Dinosaurs are rocking.
Yeah. Wham bam, it's Dino Jam. Dinosaurs.
I got an MP3 of that too.
Yeah, I do too.
Did they say superhero squad?
Not enough.
About as many times as they said hero up.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to New Sound Wave episode 5. Is this episode 5?
I don't know. I lost count.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's New Sound Wave. We're beyond numbers
school,
now.
Remember?
It's past 3. Come on.
Yeah, we're the show where we take comic books, video games, toys, Transformers, and all that stuff way too seriously. Hey, I'm Brian Kilby. With me, I have...
JD, again. Hi.
And...
Chris,
you said it out of order.
I'm sorry. Nobody was talking.
XV
didn't know there was an order.
Yes, there is.
Well, okay. Address that ahead of time next time, okay?
We don't plan here. So I was
obviously we do if there's an order in which we introduce ourselves. Now, isn't there?
See,
touché.
See, for those who couldn't tell, XV's been doing this on dial-up. For forever, and now he's on DSL, so he should have zero lag. And I was expecting a nice, snappy response. But no, Chris had to step in.
Aww. Well, I'm not over the internet, though.
No, you're sitting here in studio.
I'm live.
Live.
And on the air.
And on the air.
Yeah.
Says my
live
cat.
From North Carolina. It's live. Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, on this week's show... some news and such. Wii price drop is confirmed. We talked about that last week, but it's been confirmed, and I don't really think anyone cares.
Who doesn't have a Wii, really, at this point?
JD doesn't.
I don't.
JD is the only one here that doesn't have a Wii.
$50 cheaper. Get one, JD.
I'm telling you, I might. And I have a job now, so hey.
Yeah, JD has a job. Congratulations.
Awesome.
Thank you.
If you get a Wii for no other reason, get it because you can turn it into a media player.
He already has one with his PS3.
Yeah, I've got the PS3. But,
a much better media player.
Shut up.
And I think we kind of talked about it, but it's like, I want to get one for the classic gaming. I mean, that's, you know.
Okay, we'll talk more about this later on.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to that.
Anyway.
Actually, that's actually the first thing we can talk about, because that's the only bit of news that we have to mention this week.
Let's just go with that.
So, Virtual Con. See, my vision for this show is to include retro gaming, since that's the gaming that's really, you know, meaningful to me.
Brad loves retro gaming.
I love retro gaming. I've spent way too much time and money on retro gaming. But Virtual Console is great because all of the emulators built in, with the exception of the TurboGrafx, are spot-on perfect.
TurboGrafx works good, though.
Yeah, but it looks like you're running it out of RF. I mean, if you're running it through a component video cable and it still looks like it's through RF, that's...
Well, if you're not, then I guess you're fine.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Which I'm not, so I guess I'm fine right now.
But you have a nice, beautiful HDTV.
I know! I don't have a component cable yet.
What?
Working on it.
You might as well
it.
Not have an HDTV.
Working on it. Them things are expensive
running
for the Wii.
No, it's not. I got it cheap. I got it cheap
really?
For like $13.
Oh, I saw it
what
for
do you
like
think eBay
30.
Is for?
Well,
yeah.
I saw it for like $30 on eBay or
if
something.
If you're looking for a GameCube component cable, you're going to pay through the nose. Those things are like $50. And pointless now that, you know, the Wii is out because you can play GameCube games on it.
Yeah. Maybe I want to wait for Wii HD.
Do you think that's actually going to come out?
That's what they keep saying.
I don't.
Way.
2012.
Oh, okay.
That's what I've heard.
They'll have the Wii replaced entirely by then.
We are on the second refresh of the DS, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really anything's possible.
It's basically going to be Wii DSi-fied.
I mean, other than smaller versions of their consoles, Nintendo's really never refreshed their actual consoles before. We got a new version of the NES with the dog bone controller. And that's just because too many people were having problems with the old one, you know, having to blow into the cartridges and the 72-pin connector going out. Then late into the Super NES's life cycle, we got the Super NES Model 2, which was just sort of smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And the N64 was supposed to have been refreshed, but never was.
Don't forget the Game Boy Pocket.
Well, consoles. They've done several for the... They've done Game Boy Advance Micro, the Game Boy Advance SP.
So do you honestly think that before they would do anything else, you're saying that you don't think that they would just make another version of the Wii and just go and make a whole new console?
Well, no, I'm just saying they've never done that before with an actual console. Yeah. But the Wii is a cash cow.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, that's... I think it's going to happen. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I think it's going
to
happen.
I mean, it's going to cost them basically nothing. There's no R&D involved. They just have to add basically like a different video card on not like a video processor, but a different video card, literally a connector.
And if they make it so that it has a bigger storage and makes it so you can retrieve your downloadable content from your old Wii, I'm on board.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
That makes sense. I mean, in Wii games, a lot of them already output to 720p. If you have an emulator for Super Mario Galaxy, apparently it's gorgeous. I saw screenshots, and it looks gorgeous at 720p.
Yeah, I remember that. Awesome game. Worth it.
Yeah. But, that's pretty much it. I mean, really, is there anything else?
Well,
I mean,
what about Microsoft buying EA? You want to talk about that?
Ooh. I don't care.
Come on! It's big news!
I mean, I guess if you want to go that route, ODST came out.
It did.
Yeah, did you get it?
No. I kind of want it, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
Why do you want it? You don't play games.
I need to finish Halo 3. I'm going to finish Halo 3 before...
Well, you don't have to, because ODST is Halo 3.
Yeah.
It's the same game.
It's all... But you don't have the neat little shield recharging, because he doesn't have shields.
Yeah, so you're going to be somebody that's less awesome, and you want to play that game. What's wrong with you?
It's, I don't know, Chris.
I'm sorry.
Microsoft's going to looking to buy EA.
Yeah, that's kind of the big news, I guess, of video games this week.
So what does that mean?
Well, you know, Microsoft gets EA. That EA is I was saying 30% of the video game market. That's a pretty big chunk of the video game market.
But do people buy games just for the EA brand? I mean, don't they buy console first?
I think that people buy a system. If they want to play a sports game, they're going to buy it, and they're going to make sure that EA is supporting that system.
So that's
wait a minute. Not to interrupt, but the story coming out of the Times is that rumor is false.
Oh, so it's false? Okay.
Yeah, Microsoft is reporting that they have no interest in buying EA.
I wouldn't either. I mean, if I were Microsoft, I wouldn't buy EA.
I just thought it was funny when I saw the rumor pop up, because I don't know if you guys remember EA trying to get Rockstar back when GTA 4 launched. It just would have been interesting if Microsoft was trying to get EA now.
Yeah,
I don't think it would matter.
No, and Microsoft has its hands in enough cookie jars right now. I don't think it really would profit that much from purchasing a game company.
I mean, if they really wanted to make sure that there was never a PS4, maybe, and that would be the only reason.
I mean, that
would kill Sony.
You know, like we were talking today at lunch, you know, one of the things that killed the Dreamcast is EA's sports games weren't on it. You had no Madden.
Yeah, you know, I say it's not a big deal, then I say it kills Sony. I mean, really, I don't think the average gamer really cares, but I do think in the long term that would end up hurting Sony.
Well,
because Sony's hurting bad enough. Sure, they're selling a lot more consoles, but they're still way behind in America.
Well, you got people that will specifically buy a 360 or a PS3 instead of a Wii just for one thing. Madden. Exactly.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's a big deal.
I haven't bought a Madden game since the Sega Genesis.
Never owned a Madden game. Actually, I bought into NFL 2K. I love me some NFL 2K back on Sega Dreamcast.
Sega.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. In like 2000.
Dude, what game was it? Was it 2K2 or 3 or whatever when they started selling it for like $20 and you had online? You had all the features that Madden had, and Madden was still selling at like 50 at that point.
Yeah, let's go buy the new Sega console. See, oh, wait, that didn't mean a thing.
It wasn't just Sega, though. I mean, I think this was after Dreamcast was dead and it was on PS2 then.
Oh.
This was before.
Who had online for PS2?
Well, you know, the point is that you had the same features that Madden had at like $20 or $30 cheaper. That's the point.
Yeah. I mean, online for PS2, there are barely more people who played the PS2 online than played the Sega Saturn online.
I played it online.
The PS2 had networking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Saturn did too late in its life cycle.
Played some Quake.
Yeah.
The what?
Sega Saturn.
What was that?
Oh, not the Saturn.
That was the Sega's console post-Genesis, pre-Dreamcast.
Saturn had online?
Yeah.
Was it Japan?
No, America. Actually, at Media Play, you and I came across a modem once.
Really?
Yeah, you don't remember it.
No, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, but, I mean, of course, you know, the Genesis and SNES did too with the X-Band, but that was a third party. Yeah, that doesn't count.
Very good.
Yeah, okay. ODST also came out. I know JD doesn't care and XV doesn't, so I don't have it. But there
is news, but, yeah. You know. My thought on Halo, on the whole series, I know that there's a lot of people that love Halo and they're going to hate me. But
the first game
is
great.
See, I don't know. I didn't play the whole first game. I downloaded a demo on PC for the first game and did some of the playthrough.
Yeah.
Like, this is like every first-person shooter I've ever played. I don't understand. I think the novelty at the time, at least, was there was not a good... There were some good. I mean, I know GoldenEye. A lot of people liked GoldenEye for a first-person shooter on a console. But at that point, there had not
Faceball
been a good first-person shooter. But,
yes.
So Halo comes along, and finally there's like a decent first-person shooter. And for all the console gamers who thought that was really novel, were impressed. But I had been playing first-person shooters on PCs forever and was like,
No, okay. Back in 2001, when the Xbox came out, Halo was a first-class shooter, no matter the console. But when it finally came out on PC, like 2 or 3 years later, I mean, it was old. I mean, basically, Halo, from what I recall, it was sort of like the Microsoft version of Tribes, and I think Tribes 2 by that point was already better than Halo. And, of course, you know, but Halo had no competition and really still has no competition on consoles.
Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 2 coming in November.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the first one especially, was really amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not a big fan of military games and of first-person shooters in general, but I was riveted by that game.
I mean, there's a game right there where, like... I think it's like 90% of the people that are playing games on Xbox Live, they're either playing Halo 3 or they're playing Call of Duty 4.
Yep.
Call of Duty 4 is not just on Xbox. It's also on PS3.
PC.
On PS3, yeah. I know plenty of people who play it.
So, yeah, that's your super killer app now. I mean, Modern Warfare 2 is getting its own Xbox 360 bundle.
Yeah.
That is true.
I mean, yeah, that's how big it is.
Yeah, that's true.
I just never really got into first-person shooters.
Why not?
The view seemed too limited. I mean, it's not like you're actually seeing through... It's not like normal vision. It's really confined. I like the third-person view because you get a wider view of the area, relatively speaking.
Yeah, there are too many crappy third-person view games on the PlayStation 1 that really sort of turned me off of that whole view.
But just as shooters, I don't have a problem with shooters. I just want to be able to see more of what's going on around me.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Yeah. That's reasonable. Okay, I guess there's really no other news. I wanted to go ahead and just talk about Superhero Squad. That's really out of order, but I think that's something we can all agree on. I've watched the episode 1 and about half of episode 2. And I think it's great. I'll just go ahead and let you guys start, then I'll jump in.
I saw like half of the first episode. I really like it.
What did you think? You liked it?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to see it with just the direction that they're taking with it. But I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it, and I can see this being a successful show for Marvel.
I didn't watch it until after XV had already watched the second episode, and he told me what I thought would be the best joke ever. Actually, let me just go ahead and play the clip because I love it so much.
That's just a phone, Hulk. If it's President Roosevelt, tell him I'm not here. Go ahead, answer it.
Cap is seen on.
Hulk, I believe Captain America is suggesting you answer the phone with words. What phone what? Phone loud, but Hulk louder! Hulk loudest there is!
See, that's great. It's funny. A kid can laugh at that. An adult or a comic fan can say, "Well, you know, that's obviously a play on Hulk's strongest one there is." It's multidimensional. It's multilateral. I think it's hilarious.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah,
I think it's
like
got the
Tiny Adventures of Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, like in the first episode when they're digging through the ground and there's like the skeleton of the dogs playing cards.
And then the skeleton of the dinosaurs playing cards.
And then I think, and there's just a few comments where you just kind of your ears perk up. Like, didn't Iron Man say something about no one likes an impacted fractal in the first episode? It's just like, wow. So yeah, I like it. I think they took a lot of liberty with the characters, which is absolutely fine because this is it's a fun universe. And I like that. I mean, Marvel, we talk about Marvel being this heavy universe where, you know, it's all about the characters and their struggles, and it's really nice to have a show that is just light and campy and takes the fun parts of those characters and just has a good time.
Right. It's great to get something where there's an opportunity to play with the characters and not create these long, intertwined, completely convoluted, heavy stories with them. Just take what you can laugh at normally and exaggerate it basically as far as you can go with it.
I did watch some of, like I said, the first episode, and I kind of felt like, when you see like Doctor Doom, I was really getting a Skeletor moment with Doctor Doom talking to the Mole Man. I was like, what? It was funny.
It's funny. I like that the whole MacGuffin, but the whole plot device is they're looking for chunks of the Infinity Sword.
Yeah,
I love the fact that it's Infinity something.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what I say. It's got like those. It definitely is set in the Marvel universe, and they've got a lot of characters that you get to see and that will, you know, potentially be seen. And they're and one of the things is they're not the characters that you, I think, have normally seen in the fiction as far as on television over the last few years, and I like that a lot.
I think I may be crazy, but was Power Man in the first episode, like a cameo or something?
Uh-huh.
He was. I thought he was. That's awesome.
But you have a problem, I know, Chris, with Ms. Marvel.
Well, it's not a problem. It's just something I thought was weird.
See, I think I know what it is. For you, Ms. Marvel really took center stage in the Iron Man comic that was written by Kurt Busiek.
Well, it's not so much that. It's just that, like when you think about Ms. Marvel, going back to the day, like the 70s, I guess, and the 80s,
Was she crippled?
I don't even remember that.
She didn't have any powers.
Yeah, she was depowered for a while.
Well, when she had her own book, is basically what I'm saying. Ms. Marvel is kind of like one of Marvel's characters. Where if you're going to pick a character to be considered kind of like a more sexualized character. She's it. I mean, she's got like the long leg boots and the high heels, and I mean, for like 70s, she was
kids like sex.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, that's kind of my problem with it. I was like, it's kind of weird that this is a character that was the big push of the character back in the day, and she's still wearing that costume. She's just now in kind of a deformed little version.
Well, you
of
know,
it.
Today now that costume doesn't have the sexual overtones it may have had in the 70s.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like I said, it's not a problem. It's just something weird when I saw it. I was like, it's just kind of weird to see her.
You have a crush on Ms. Marvel.
That's what
I love Ms. Marvel.
Like a little girl.
And you don't want someone else to enjoy Ms. Marvel.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I'm not even going there. Okay. Yeah.
And of course the character's not. I wouldn't say that character is sexualized in the sense that I think she's a lot more like her current incarnation. I mean, they've definitely pulled her from the Civil War version of that character.
Let's just say that when we see like a little super deformed Emma Frost, I'm going to be like, that's too much.
No, that won't bother me, actually.
Okay.
I don't know. I can kind of see where Chris is coming from when you go to that extreme.
Yeah.
If it's like, was it Saxon Violin? That
I don't think anybody even remembers that comic. I know what you're talking about, but yeah. I mean, nobody else is going
to
get that.
No, I think the people who are listening to this are big enough nerds to remember, mm-hmm.
yeah.
remember that.
Yeah.
No offense to the people listening to this.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
But to cap it, excellent show. Definitely going to be putting that in the DVR.
Absolutely. I don't see how anyone without, you know, anyone could dislike this unless they have like Asperger's syndrome or something.
or they're the people that are uber continuity that are just like, they're making fun of characters I love.
I mean, it's kind of like almost like the Marvel take on it. Well, it's farther out than the Marvel take of Batman Brave and the Bold. Brave and the Bold is fun. It's a fun cartoon.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take itself seriously, and it doesn't take continuity seriously. So, but it's like an even more absurdist take, I would say. Like someone said, Tiny Toons-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know, it's better than, say, like a Marvel Zombies cartoon, which we could have easily gotten on Adult Swim.
Oh, I'd totally watch it.
I wouldn't.
I would totally watch that.
I mean, if they could put out a good comic, you know, new Marvel Zombies comic.
Maybe a Marvel Zombies animated movie, I think I'd watch it.
I guarantee you that'll happen. I hope it's based on something Kirkman did and not one of the Alto-Rans.
Yeah, they just the new Marvel Zombies is supposed to be the return of the old characters, like from the first
Colonel America. And,
yeah, and all that, but it's still not Kirkman. Yeah, I'm disappointed.
You know, it's funny, Kirkman, he's literally almost from the same thread as Bendis. I mean, they're childhood buddies, but Kirkman is so much better than Bendis.
Yeah, and like he's like the anti-Bendis because like all his books fail.
Yeah.
Except for Walking Dead.
And everything that Bendis does succeeds.
Yeah.
I guess it's just the fact that he doesn't write 40 books a month like Bendis does.
He wrote like a good number of books there for Marvel for a while, and they were all good. His Ant-Man was awesome. His Marvel Team-Up was awesome.
Marvel Team-Up was fantastic.
But they just fail.
Yeah, if Bendis writes one or two books a month, he's great. But I cannot stand, like, all the flavors of the Avengers that he does. And
hey, if we ever want to, like, you know, just get in just a rant on Bendis, I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
You just tell me. I'm ready to
just
go.
Just let that frustration build.
Yeah.
Fester, Chris.
Fester, Chris. We'll do that here in a couple weeks.
Okay.
We haven't had, like, a really down show since the first show.
Yeah. I'll turn it into pure hate.
Yeah. like one show out of seven needs to be like a hate show, and we've already filled our quota for this for the first seven shows.
Yeah. Do it.
Okay.
Is this the seventh show?
No, we've got two more.
Well, what about the Lost show?
It's gone forever.
Aww.
I mean, I guess I could post it, kind of like I did the Lost Radio Free Cybertron.
Wait until we've been doing this for a year and then go back and do that.
Yeah.
Yep, that'd be great for the 1 year.
Yeah.
If we make it.
Yeah, actually, speaking of the long-lost Radio Free Cybertron, let's actually take a quick break, and we'll be back in just 1 second.
Through the magic of the RFC Network, RFC Throwback, Computer Enhanced. Ha ha ha! Classic episodes of Radio Free Cybertron, as well as the new RFC Throwback Podcast. Check it out at tfradio.net. Click on Throwback, and follow me on Twitter. twitter.com/RFC_computer. Fat boy!
Talk about Heroes.
I can. I've seen
JD
it.
JD and Chris.
Yeah, we'll talk about Heroes because there's a lot to cover on Heroes.
Okay.
Okay, because I don't care at all about Heroes.
Okay, so you and I will actually just walk away. Literally, I'm just going to walk away.
You could like play with like Webster, make like noises in the background. Curses, man at arms!
No, I'll
destroy you.
Actually, let's go ahead and talk about comics. Then Then we'll follow up with Heroes so XV and I can like take a break and
we don't even really have to talk about Heroes.
No, we're going to talk about Heroes.
No, I think we should.
Go ahead and talk about Heroes. It fills time.
Yeah, the listeners care about Heroes, even though I don't. I mean, we can talk about House.
I would totally talk about House. I loved House.
I loved House too. Yeah, but okay. What came out this week, guys? Comic book wise, it's Thursday, so Wednesday was
Blackest Night, Superman, like we were talking about, Amazing Spider-Man. Ooh, I liked Amazing.
I haven't read it. I haven't read issue 605 or 606 yet.
And I'm sure you're like ready to bust to talk about Old Man Logan or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I want to talk about Old Man Logan.
You literally are ready to bust to talk about Old Man.
Okay, since three of us have read Superman Blackest Night number 2, let's talk about that. The book ended with the worst last page ever.
It's on.
Yeah. Basically, next issue is going to have a knockdown, dragdown fight between Ma Kent with a
Zombie Lois.
Yeah, she has a torch against Zombie Lois in a cornfield.
Awesome. You know, I was expecting her to like at the end of the issue to set her on fire or something, and then say it's on.
Yeah, that was awful. I mean. I liked the first issue. I thought it succeeded on the strength of James Robinson's writing, but issue 2 so did not work.
I like that there's like a zombie
psycho pirate was the best idea they've had.
If you're ever gonna, if you've got rings that feed off of emotion, you need to resurrect psycho pirate.
Yes,
that's brilliant. But I don't even
remember psycho pirate dying though. Did he die at the explosion with?
He was punched through the face by Black Adam at the end of
Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
And how did Alexander Luthor die? I mean, did he die at the end?
Joker killed him, remember?
Yes.
He said you should have included the Joker in your plan, and then he just shot
Joker
him
and Lex Luthor. Yeah. Sort of together. Yep.
They sort of teamed up and killed him.
The world's finest team.
I love that comic.
Infinite Crisis is great. I'll go back and read Infinite Crisis. I have the audiobook version of it, which parts of it are actually better than the comic.
It's so much better than Final Crisis. It's scary how much better it is.
But yeah, there's some great ideas in it's like Blackest Night is like the comic portion of the show.
But well, there's so much that's coming out is the thing, and they're not slowing down. There's going to be a Blackest Night.
But it's good.
Flash.
It's a good idea, and the execution is so it's good topic fodder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I talked to JD about trying to get Jeff Johns on the show.
Do it.
Yeah, I think we're going to try working on that.
Do you follow him on Twitter?
Yeah.
He was Twittering like crazy the other day about his main cabinet.
Really?
Yeah, well, he's not... I don't know if he's got a Donkey Kong cabinet, and he put MAME on it, and he's talking about how awesome it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So there you have... I have a common ground with him. Yeah.
It's like, hey, have you ever thought about, you know, putting in a headphone amplifier?
It's like, you can say, we're not going to talk about comics, we're going to talk about MAME cabinets. And then we talk about comics.
That's a great idea, Chris. I think we need to try to get Jeff Johns on the show. Hey, would you mind coming on the 7th episode of our new podcast?
we literally have tens of listeners.
No, we have more than that.
Yeah.
Dozens of listeners.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Maybe a gross even.
No, we have more than a gross. But actually, yeah, it was good. Parts of it, but the ending sucked.
Yeah, my only problem was when we got Blackest Night Superman #1, you started to see, I think that was like the first issue where you started to see like non-superheroes coming back from the dead. Like when Zombie Lois showed up, I was like, yeah.
Superman, Batman.
Did Batman come out first?
Grayson's.
Yeah, the Grayson's. Yeah. Yeah. Fine Grayson's.
See, when we started seeing that, I was like, yeah, I don't like this. I don't know.
Okay.
Why are they bringing them back?
Okay. Here's
so that's your jump the shark moment for this?
Yeah, that's my jump the shark moment. The Fonz, he just jumped the shark.
Okay.
I'm sorry, continue.
Okay. Old Man Logan came out. Okay, some backstory. Old Man Logan is the third story arc that Mark Miller has done for the Wolverine regular comic.
Second, isn't it?
There's Enemy of the State, and there was the story after.
Was there a story after?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was.
I thought that was all one story.
It kind of flows through. Enemy of the State was fantastic.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Enemy of the State was great. The follow-up was not so as good, and Old Man Logan was pretty much a total letdown.
No, I liked it.
It was a total letdown. And the part that bothered me the most is
that the end may be a letdown.
Yeah.
But I like the story.
It's a good idea. It's basically Unforgiven if Unforgiven was done with mutants and superheroes. But the problem is the thing ended in, this is going to be continued in a $5 or $6 one shot double sized issue.
Yeah, it was expensive. I couldn't believe how expensive it was.
So he got, and like the last 20 pages was just art. I mean, you know, like sketches, unfinished art, and like
you're talking about the last issue, the giant size.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the issue itself, it was basically exactly what you would expect. It was Wolverine killing lots of people.
I mean,
lots of Hulks.
They've been building to this. I mean, you knew that's what they were going to give you.
Yeah, I like the fact that all the Hulks were basically inbred Hicks.
Yeah, with She-Hulk.
Yeah, we found out in that issue it was Banner had basically married his cousin, She-Hulk.
Because
she's the
only
one that can stand the pace.
Yeah.
God. And,
can we get some dueling banjo music right
wow.
here?
Wow.
Yeah. but he killed all the hillbilly Hulks in the book, and then Banner ate him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of funny.
I liked that he was Banner when he came out to fight him, and he was kicking his butt.
Yeah. We saw Banner before, strong, like Hulk.
We have, but, you know, it's just, why would he be Banner then? With all these Hulks running around, why wouldn't he be Hulk? I just thought it was a neat thing. This old man Banner comes out and just starts kicking the crap out of Wolverine.
Yeah, he said the radiation's damaged his brain, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. The issue itself, though, I kind of like the fact that at the very end of it, Wolverine is going to try to restart the generation of heroes.
I like that.
With himself and the baby Banner.
Yeah.
Which he spared, even though Banner and all the inbred Banner rednecks killed Wolverine's whole family.
Yeah.
Redneck Hulk.
There's no Red Hulk in it.
I think when you describe it, it actually sounds worse than it actually is. Because it's not...
That's my interpretation of the book.
Isn't this really more like Deliverance with Hulks?
Maybe.
No, Ned Beatty. No. Ned
Beatty was in it.
Ned
yeah.
Beatty was, okay. Yeah.
We're like a pig.
Okay, but in like the last third of the book was just like concept art and stuff. But the thing I thought was interesting, one of the last covers that Michael Turner ever did was a cover of Old Man Logan.
I noticed that.
And I did some digging. I'm like, well, when did this come out? Because he died in like May of 08.
He died a while back.
June of 08.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I found people complaining about his cover after he died.
Oh, my gosh.
People had posted complaints about what was wrong with it like three or four days after he died. They had to be aware that he was dead. They were still critiquing the problems with the cover, which the cover was okay.
I didn't have any problems with it.
I didn't have any problems with it.
I don't have any problems with his art. It's just that I could understand why maybe his art wouldn't be perfect.
I mean, if he were alive, I'd complain about it, but him being dead, I've got to show some respect.
I mean, he's not a bad artist. I don't think he was
absolutely
bad
not.
He did, I thought, a pretty good run on Witchblade. I thought it looked good.
I never read a single issue of Witchblade, though I know someone who was offered a job to write Witchblade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll get into that later.
Awesome.
So,
probably still beats Witchblade the anime.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Or Witchblade the TV show.
Yeah, didn't watch that one either.
Do they still make the Blade TV series?
No,
ended after the first season.
Yeah,
that's a shame.
I didn't hate it though. I mean, that
would have potential.
Yeah, Geoff Johns wrote the pilot.
I didn't like the pilot.
You didn't like the pilot? Well, then I guess you wouldn't like the show then.
Yeah, Blade the series was decent, and I don't even really care for Blade that much.
I thought it was not terrible. I mean, I've definitely seen worse shows, but I don't know. I guess maybe because of the network it was on and the time that they put it on, it just couldn't get any momentum.
Maybe.
I don't know. I guess Blade 3 was also looming over it, so people weren't going to really forget that anytime soon.
It was just a bad time to be Blade in general.
Yeah.
Wait, who played Blade in the TV series?
Sticky Fingers.
What?
Rapper Sticky Fingers. Is that his name?
I don't remember.
I think, Chris, wow, you're the one that has a problem with race on this show. You need.
Are you sure it wasn't The Rock?
Yeah, it was The Rock. I was waiting on when you were going to bring that up. No, I think his name is Sticky Fingers. He was a rapper. I guess he's still a rapper. I don't know. I don't listen to rap.
Is Will Smith still a rapper? I'm not.
He did release an album a couple of years back.
Yeah, I mean,
after he became a star.
He was first known as a rap artist, and he was known as an actor, then slash rap artist. Then it was almost exclusively an actor.
I want to say he did music on the album with his son, almost.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, Chris is right about the name.
Sticky
okay.
Fingers.
Okay.
Uh-huh, wow. I just looked it up.
Sorry, yeah. Chris.
Yeah.
Could have sworn it was The Rock.
Yeah.
Okay. What else came out this week that we want to talk about comic-wise?
Ooh, Tales of the Fallen 2.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that yesterday on Radio Free Cybertron.
As in Transformers Tales of the Fallen
2. Okay. So, yeah, they're doing a series of kind of semi-prequel tie-in comics. How do I say this? They suck. So the first issue was kind of focusing on Bumblebee and Sam, and then Bumblebee has a big fight with Barricade. So it's basically the fight scene from the first film with dialogue and just Bumblebee, Barricade, and Sam.
Okay.
The second issue, which was actually written by Simon Furman, focuses on Sideswipe and how he's really focused on taking out Demolisher, and he was trained by Ironhide. And most of the comic is a big fight scene between Ironhide, Demolisher, and Sideswipe. So basically, it's the Tokyo scene with just those three characters, dialogue, and in Buenos Aires instead of in Japan.
Did the underbase come into it?
Not yet. Although there was the Furmanism with It Never Ends, so that was in there. But it's not just the story. I mean, the story is okay. I didn't particularly care for it because I feel like they're rehashing something that happened in the film and just kind of trying to do it with dialogue, which is sort of pointless. And the art, and I thought maybe this would invoke a discussion, but and maybe it's better for RC, but I don't know. But the problem I have is that they're trying to do the film art in comic books. I don't think it works. I think that the art is fine as far as the design on film, like when you see it live, but when you try to put all of those bits and pieces and gears and everything on the page, it's too much, and I can't tell what I'm looking at.
It gets pretty busy and muddled with all that detail, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it looks like they're melting is what it looks like. So, I don't know. I think the most disappointing thing is I feel like I've seen this. I saw this in the film. They're just adding a different set of dialogue and doing stuff, and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, at the beginning of the issue, Sideswipe is talking about how he doesn't really care about the humans. He doesn't care about protecting them. All he wants is to kill Demolisher because he's mad at him for something that he did. And then at the end of the issue, like, Ironhide almost gets fragged, and suddenly Sideswipe goes, "Oh wow, I was looking past the people. I should protect them." What? No.
Who wrote this?
It's Simon Furman. That's kind of what's surprising. It's just like, I don't know. I'm not a Simon Furman hater. I like the stuff that he's done, but it's just very, I don't know. It was really forced.
I like Simon. I've met him a few times, and he's almost kind of Ouija, almost. Which hopefully anybody who's listening will have a clue what that means. But I think we said before, if you're still writing Transformers like 20 years after you really started doing that, you might want to reevaluate your career.
Hey, it worked for Chris Claremont on X-Men. He's still writing X-Men comics.
Well, did he come back? Is he writing Uncanny?
No, he's writing something totally different. He's writing his own X-Men book. It's like Marvel says, "Hey, do you want to write an X-Men comic?" He says, "Yeah, well, we're going to make you a book." And they just do it. He's writing like X-Men Forever.
Is it kind of like how they made the Dan Jurgens Spider-Man comic and then he left after like four issues?
No, I think it's more like if Chris Claremont wants to write an X-Men comic, but they've already got a deal with somebody else to do Uncanny, they'll just make a book and it'll end when he gets done writing.
They make an X-Men book just because it's a certain day of the week, though.
Not so much anymore. It's not the 90s.
Are you serious?
Anymore.
Dark X-Men just came out, issue one.
What's the point of that?
That's Bendis's fault, probably.
X-Men Thursday.
X-Men Thursday.
Is that like, what's his name? Chuck. What's his name?
Chuck Austin.
Chuck Austin.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Did he, you know, his Iron Man, his War Machine comic was pretty good.
Did he draw it or did he?
He did
wrote
both.
It?
He did both. He did the computer generated art and he wrote it. And it was decent.
Yeah, but like anything after that Iron Man story has been awful.
Action Comics was terrible.
He did, I think he did. He either did Uncanny or he did the regular X-Men book for a long time, and it was awful.
Yeah. Why do some people get jobs?
I don't know. I'd say with Chuck Austin, it's that he was consistent, and he probably didn't make waves. Like, he wasn't going to do something in the book that was going to mess up the characters really forever. But he would turn his issues in on time. I mean, he's not like some writers, which, you know, make two books, and then it's a year later where you get the next book. Like
4 years
Kevin Smith.
Like four Smith. Years yeah. later.
Yeah.
Because I think like DC and Marvel would rather put out crap on time than put out something great that's going to take 10 years to finish.
Okay. Yeah, you can't make money off of issues that aren't on the shelf.
Yeah.
That is true. Anything else come out beyond Transformers Revenge of the Fallen 2?
I did happen to read that Dark X-Men, but I have no idea what's going on, so it's kind of pointless.
I'm not even reading those.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
I've only read two books this
I
week.
I think it's goes along with the Dark Avengers, where they're basically Norman Osborn's put together their own evil X-Men, but I don't care, so I'm not reading it.
You know, Norman Osborn should be dead.
No, he shouldn't.
Yeah,
he shouldn't be dead. I just don't think he should be Kingpin.
He shouldn't be. He's Marvel's Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And he should be.
Yeah.
I like Norman Osborn as a Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that when he's crazy, he's basically the king of the world, but his primary goal is still to destroy Spider-Man.
Oh,
I do like that.
Well, you have to have your priorities.
Yes.
Right.
He's still chasing after the white whale.
And I know you haven't read it yet, but I liked Amazing Spider-Man this week. You need to read it.
What happened in it?
Black Cat's back.
Oh.
The Black Cat.
We're revisiting the 80s.
Oh, come on. I like the Black Cat.
So do you like the Black Cat or Ms. Marvel?
Yeah.
Oh, I like them both, but I like Black Cat better just because she's in Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man.
Do you have a poster of one or the other in your room? Or?
No, I can't say
you
that.
You know, most awesome thing I have in this office right now is the Batman Returns 12-foot flag banner. It's basically a banner pennant flag shape thing. It goes across the room. It's fantastic.
And the art is so great, you can definitely tell that's Michael Keaton.
You can tell it's Michael Keaton, and it cost me a quarter.
Yeah.
And it's old enough to vote.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that wraps it up for comics, doesn't it?
It was a big comic week, but I can't remember what else came out.
It's a big comic week that nothing came out on.
No, yeah. there's some other stuff. I just can't think of what it was right now.
Okay, so I think I'm going to go do some tricep dips while you and JD talk about Heroes.
Come on, it's Aww. Heroes, man.
This will take like 5 seconds. Watch him. And he'll leave.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still here. I'm just not going to talk.
Hey, no, so take over the show if I don't come back.
Yeah.
Did
uh-huh.
you hear that?
What?
Okay, so I don't know. You want to get started, JD? I mean,
yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Heroes. So here's to catch up. This was my assessment of what happened to Heroes, and we haven't talked about Heroes at all. So basically, Heroes started out, and I think it was an excellent series for like the first season. First season was fantastic.
Yeah, I love that first season.
It was amazing. I thought it was able to encapsulate a show about superheroes sort of in a Marvel semi-DC universe, but while being real world. And that it's not that that's novel. It's not that that hasn't been tried before, but I think it finally worked. Like I could see where they were pulling from and manipulating source material to get where they were.
Right.
So it was one of those deals where for example, my wife is not a comic book fan and she loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I am, and I loved it. So it was able to draw in people of a lot of different interest. If you knew stuff about comics, you liked it. If you didn't, that didn't matter because it's still good storytelling.
Yeah, I thought it was, like you said, I thought it was like a great story that worked well. And then even for somebody like me that's like hardcore comics, I could catch like the little references to things, like when like Hero would make it like a reference to a comic book or something. I was like, oh yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Or even like the setting where there would be something in the setting and that would reference to a particular character or an event, you know, where you would see like the future and you would see where characters had switched sides, and it's sort of like a Days of Future Past sort of reference.
Right.
Where if you know the comics, you can see that reference. If not, it doesn't matter because, it's just story stuff. So season one was great. Then the worst thing that happened to the series was the writer's strike.
Yeah, definitely.
The writer's strike hit about the middle, if not of season two. And what that did is threw everything for the next. I mean, it would be two seasons, I think, for what we would consider a series season to be, but essentially it was three.
Right.
It threw the next three pieces off.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only did the writer's strike happen, but then after the writer's strike happened, they let two of the lead writers go.
Right.
And what happened was the middle there, the pieces that we had before really sucked. The show lost direction, it lost focus, it started to become more soap opera. It didn't have those elements. They took characters and changed them in such a way that they really weren't as interesting as they were to begin with. And I think the last season, this Hunted, where they did the whole setup where the government's trying to hunt the specials.
Mm-hmm.
It really, I think it pulled the series down because now you were at a point at which the characters couldn't escape. You mm-hmm. know, it didn't seem like there was going to be an out for them.
Yeah, I hated the end of season, what would that be, season three, I guess? Yeah, season three.
I think it's season three, but cycle four was the last one. We're supposedly on volume five.
Yeah, they break it up into volumes, and that's where it gets kind of hard to keep up with it. But it's like the season three is like the first half. The first half felt like a totally different show from the second half of that year.
So is this following basically the roadmap of Rising Stars by JMS?
Well, kind of, maybe.
I mean, JD said that the specials are being chased by the government. I mean, it sounds exactly like Rising Stars.
Well, not so much like that, I think, but I think the idea of like where you go back to the beginning where just random people just one day just all have superpowers. I mean, that's Rising Stars, but then it's totally different after that.
And that's why I say, I mean, it pulls from a lot of different source material. So, yeah, that could be an influence, but there's other influences as well. And they didn't seem to be able to keep up with the returning symbology as much. And that sort of changed over time. I mean, they still sort of have the specials symbol that appears. I don't know that I even saw it in the first episode. But anyway, getting to the new series, the new season, The Hero's Redemption. So when you end last season and they basically seem to have removed the government aspect. So apparently it seems like they've either written it off as saying it was all a hoax or whatever, but they've shut down the specials hunting program. Danko's out on his own. He doesn't seem to be connected with the government.
He's pretty much sacked. I mean, he has no power now to do anything.
Yeah, so he's kind of gone rogue. He's kind of doing his own thing.
So he's gone out on his own, going down the only road he's ever known.
Right.
Like a drifter, he was born to walk alone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing when this episode opened, and it was a two-hour season premiere, I felt like I was sort of back where we started.
Yeah.
They've cleaned up some of the messes, and they've fixed some of the problems, And now we're sort of back to a point at which what made Heroes interesting is you didn't really know what was going on. You didn't know who you could trust and who you couldn't. And there were aspects that were unfolding, but you weren't really sure in what direction they were going to unfold or how that was going to work out.
Right.
So now you have a completely new element with the Carnival specials,
which I really like those characters. I mean, I know we've only seen them like in the premiere, but I think just the idea of introducing these characters, I thought was really interesting.
And it's perfect. It's exactly where a group of people with abilities would end up. And it seems like there's almost a like a brotherhood, in a sense, of these characters, because it seems like they talk about, we need to replace someone with this power in our group.
Right. And he said, so, don't use the word replacement or something. Like, he took offense for it. Almost like you were saying, like, they're family.
Exactly. They're like a family, right. But they did speak of needing someone with certain abilities to fill in those roles. But what's ambiguous is do they have a goal? What's their agenda? How are they going to play into what's going on? I mean, are these people that are helpful or hurtful? We don't know.
I mean, we don't know. Like you said, we don't know if these are villains or if these are actually, I mean, if they're working for something that's greater, and we just haven't gotten to that yet. But it's just that not knowing, I mean, it's like you were saying, it's like we've gone back to the beginning, and it's almost like we've started over with Heroes, and that's a good thing.
Yes. That's what I think makes Heroes work, is continually stringing you along, where it's like you get to the end of the episode, and you got to have more. And I think that's the mark of obviously any good series, because that's the whole point. But that's what made Season 1 and or Volume 1. And a little bit of Volume 2 was like that. 3 and 4 were not like that.
I think Volume 2 was going in a good direction, but like you're saying, the writer's strike it just killed it. And then when they came back, it was just too much. Not it was too long between the end of what we had for Season 2 and then Season 3 starting up. And Heroes just started to suffer from that time. And It's like, I don't know, it's just, I could see where it was going with Season 2, and there's definitely some kind of stupid stuff that's in that season, but I think if they would have had more time, that I think Season 2 probably could have been a pretty good season if they could have gotten it together.
Yeah, and I feel like they really lost opportunities with some of the characters that they had, and they really, I mean, even into villains, you know, with Petrelli, and then he was just gone at the end of that. I don't know. They really rushed and cleaned up some stuff, and they went in different directions that I didn't think worked.
And there's like,
as well as they could have.
And there's like two endings to Season 2, because like the DVD has like an alternate ending. It has Season 2 ended with the disease. Either they stopped the disease from spreading, but. Peter's brother Nathan gets shot. Well, I think in the alternate ending, they don't stop the disease from spreading, and it actually starts to spread, and then that would have been the setup for the third season.
Yeah, I think, and that's, I mean, again, there were so many things that went wrong. Like, for example, Peter left that poor woman in that alternate universe.
Yeah, I have a problem with them not cleaning that up. I mean, if you would have just took like 5 seconds to say, well, we changed history so that universe doesn't happen, so she's probably okay now because of some stupid time thing or something, that would be okay. But then they don't even reference it at all.
No, they just like you like just the poor character is just out there somewhere lost, you know. So, just because they ran out of time or they, yeah, I don't know, I guess they just, I don't know if the writers forgot or what.
I don't know. It's just terrible.
The actor didn't want to come back, but it was probably the worst loose end that they left out. But, and that's why I say they brought characters on and then killed them off really oddly, like Daphne. You know,
yeah.
They bring Daphne on, and she's got this huge destiny, and they show this future with her and Matt, and then they just sort of pointlessly kill her off.
And I thought she was a good character. I liked her. Of all of, like, the new characters we got that started showing up that season, I thought she was, like, probably the best. I mean, I thought she was an interesting character with an interest in power.
She was an interesting character because she was real. I think because she had honest emotions. She wasn't like Peter, who, you know, is trying so hard to be a hero. And concerned about what he would do. She's really, she had a disability. Her special powers kicked in. She was able to overcome that disability, and she wants to retain that power. And, you know, and she wants to profit from it. And that's understandable. That's reasonable.
And she's hero's nemesis.
Yes, which was excellent.
Yeah.
And that was just a great angle for that character. But I'm interested to see where we're going to go with this season. And I think that they did a good job with the two-hour opener. You know, a lot of times with the two-hour opener, you have a problem with pace.
Yeah.
Because it's a big time slot to fill. And I thought they paced it out really well. I'm a little confused on, as far as the carnival group, who has powers. Yeah, because at the beginning of the episode, you see Samuel, and of course a continuation of biblical names and characters, which is sort of interesting. But Samuel, who seems to be the sort of leader or patriarch of the group, and they're doing this graveside service. Obviously, one of them has died. Mm-hmm. And he motions his hands, and the earth moves in, which makes me think he's maybe like a geomancer.
Right.
And then later you see the tattoo woman, but I don't understand if that's his ability having effect on her or her ability. Because then you see the hand, which, of course, the big thing in the episode to me, or one of the big things, was Ray Park. Ray Park was
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I hadn't heard anything about him being in it.
I didn't
or
either.
Anything.
I about peed. I was
and,
like,
and he gets a, he gets a line apparently.
He has several lines.
Yeah, he talks a lot in it.
Does he have a voice?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a good voice.
Yeah, I forgot.
I thought he did a good part. I thought he was a good character.
JD told me that Toad had a couple of lines in X-Men, and that I forgot that Darth Maul had one line. Otherwise, I don't think I've ever heard him say a word.
Yeah. He didn't talk at all in Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, was he the Headless Horseman?
Yeah, he was the Headless Horseman.
Okay, so I actually liked that movie. I liked the first X-Men movie, too, but...
Yeah. He's in a lot of movies, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, and I think he was good. I mean, his power, he's a speedster. Okay. Yeah.
But he's a speedster with knives.
With knives, yeah. The Kariki.
Everything's better with knives.
Yeah, is he a ninja?
Nah.
No.
He's quick.
He's buff, though. I think this is one of the few times I've actually seen him in sort of street clothes, where he's not, like, in a costume and stuff. And
yeah.
You know. I mean, that's the cool thing, is that I think Ray Park plays so many characters that, you know, are monsters or have something. I mean, even he played Snake Eyes, and of course he's in, like, a full suit or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you don't really get to just see Ray Park. And I was like... I was really taken aback, because I'm like, man, he's really buff. he definitely does work out. But
see, I was thinking when you mentioned this before, it's like, oh, well, he was Gollum at least. I like that Gollum. Thought no, that was Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
So totally different guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
not the same.
Yeah.
Not at all.
when Andy Serkis starts, like, fighting Jedi, then they're the same guy. But I don't think that's going to happen.
No. But
I'm a bad nerd.
Yeah.
but I guess so as far as the tattoo thing, I'm still going to be interested to see exactly what that is or how that works. I'm assuming it's the woman's power.
Okay.
If he's like Peter, and he taps into multiple powers?
He might have multiple powers, I guess. I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
I was going to make a lame Fantasy Island joke when he said tattoo.
The plane.
Yeah. Hush you. So anyway,
I'm going to mute my mic again. I'll be back.
Yeah. No, I hope that they keep up the pace. I really like Heroes, and it's funny because even though I'm like a hardcore comic fan. I never was interested in Heroes. In fact, I came into it kind of late. Didn't watch Heroes when the first season came out.
I watched part of the first season and I didn't care for it.
I didn't watch any of it. I just totally avoided it. I think we were into season two had ended, and season three I think was about to start. And I was like in a Target, and they had like the first season DVD like super cheap, like $15 cheap or something. I was like, hey, it's got to be worth $15. So I picked it up, watched it. I liked it. I liked it a lot, and it got me into wanting to watch the rest of it. Got caught up on G4, and then here I am now. But if it can, I think if it could get me in with just that first season and get me to stay to hopefully see something as good as that first season, then if they can just keep the pace with this new season, I think maybe they can start winning some fans back.
Yeah, and I was leery when they fired some of the writers because I knew they had more comic book history than Tim Kring did. But but he seems to be doing okay. You know, whoever the writers are that are doing it now, it looks okay. I mean, yeah. It definitely has that comic book feel again because, well, for example, like with Matt having Siler in his head from doing the brain wipe on Nathan – definitely feels like that Magneto Xavier. I don't know. It sort of reminded me of when Xavier had wiped Magneto.
Like Onslaught.
And that led to Onslaught. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sort of made me think about that. Of course, you had Hero and Ondo doing a sort of Heroes for Hire.
Yeah.
You know, kind of deal. So there's definitely like the little, you know, comic book references that are there again. Just the touches of stuff that, if you've watched or if you read comic books, then you say, oh, well, that's, you know, that. But if not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It works. So, and of course, I the only thing that kind of made me cringe was at one point, Gretchen, who's the now roommate of...
she's Claire's friend? Is that
Claire's friend, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The dark-haired girl.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, she was talking about forensics and bodies falling to the ground. And she mentioned that she saw it on an episode of Crossing Jordan. And I was like,
Actually, that didn't bother me because I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with that show. I've never watched that. But
Crossing Jordan is Tim Kring's show, though.
Oh, it is. Okay, well,
that's
didn't know
why
that.
I'm saying, yeah, it's his own show.
But what made me cringe was the blatant Guitar Hero ad in show.
Okay. I'm just gonna. I don't know anything about Heroes, but you mentioned Guitar Hero. Do you remember when we heard that in the new Friday the 13th movie that Jason killed somebody playing Guitar Hero,
yeah,
picked it up and started playing Guitar Hero? I was so looking forward to that scene. Then we saw the movie, which was awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
But it didn't happen. That would have been the best scene ever.
You got to save something for the sequel, Brian.
Yeah, true. Hey, so are we about done talking about Heroes? Because
So basically, my only thing will be if you had watched Heroes, got out of it, this is a good time to get back in. It looks like it's going to be better.
So, yeah. I mean, if I can find the time, and I'm managing to do that, if I wanted to watch it, I should TiVo it. And
I got the DVD of the first season. Let you borrow it.
You've got to get caught up, though. There's so many things that have happened, and they're still going to reference a lot of the stuff that have happened.
Okay.
So you
I can
really
get it on
need
Netflix.
To get caught up.
I can stream it through my Xbox.
You can't. I think you can even do the premiere.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think you can. Yeah. You can watch the new episodes.
Okay.
I'll
check it out. You know, I was worried that this show is going to be really short because, you know, but you guys really have managed to take the Heroes conversation way farther than I ever anticipated that we could.
Hey, there's lots to talk about.
Yeah.
Lots happened.
There's a lot.
And you didn't once mention like Jailbait. So that's the only thing I know about Heroes is like everyone loved that one chick who until recently was too young.
The Claire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, just want to remind everyone here on October 15th that we have our 10th anniversary show. Check that out. I'm doing some interviews next week, or maybe actually one tomorrow, with some voices from the past, working on Transformers Movie Part 4 and all that. Check out Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Show. Go to tfradio.net. It's all there. All the archive goes back to 1999. And we have a new show, RFC Throwback, which is a computer-enhanced version of the old show that is being posted. Any last thoughts, guys?
No.
No.
So Mjolnir is mighty indeed as a shovel it supremely sucketh eggs.
And the great thing is, XB, I understood what you said. Before, if you would say that, you would break up because you're on dial-up.
Yeah, it's better now.
I was actually listening to a really old RSC today from 1999, and I was listening to a 15-year-old XB. That was just fantastic. I think I'm going to post that soon as a RSC throwback, so you'll enjoy that.
Awesome.
Well, it's not far off in the queue if you keep going in order.
Yeah, I'm going to go in order, so keep listening. It'll be there around November. Well, guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I will talk to you all next week.
Peace.
Peace.
Later.
Be with you.